John chapter 10, beginning with the last part of verse 7. Jesus is done speaking. He says, "Verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine." So Jesus came that we might have a shepherd. He came that we might have life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Yeah, I know a guy, and I was talking to him the other day, and he was telling me about his marriage, his wedding. And he said he went to his in-laws, and he asked his father-in-law if he could marry his daughter and everything. And he said yes, and everybody was just so happy and thrilled to death, and they started making all these plans for weddings. And long towards the end of getting ready for the wedding, in-laws got mad about something. And he didn't tell me what it was. I don't know that he knew what it was. But they got all standoffish, said they wouldn't come into the wedding. And well, they finally came to the wedding, but they sat in the back and just glared at him the whole time. And he said that wouldn't even walk his daughter down the aisle. And so then, after it was all over, he said, "You know how you line up and the bride and the groom line up and all the wedding party and everybody goes through and shakes their hand and kisses them or whatever. And he said her mom and dad waited till it was all over with. Everybody filed out. And then they shot behind them. Wouldn't even say hello. And I said, "Well, that sounds pretty rough. What'd you do?" You know, what did you do to make him mad? That's what I was asking him. And he's like, "I still don't know." And I said, "Well, I don't know what to tell you. Really don't know what to tell you." He said, "They just sucked the joy out of that day." And I said, yeah, I know what you mean. Know what that means, have somebody suck the joy out of something. He said, then later on, he said, we lived right there with them. And said, then later on, we bought a house and said we moved. And said, they quit talking to me. Started telling the kids what an awful move that was. He said, they just took the joy out of getting a new house and just sucked it all out. And you know, the point of this story is not to tell anything on these guys, because you don't know any of these people. It doesn't matter. But the point is, there are people in your life who will do absolutely nothing but try to suck the joy out of everything you try to do. And I don't know if they do it on purpose. I don't know if they intend to. I don't know if it's an accident. I don't know if it's an evil spirit. I don't know what it is. But I have known people who would not let you have a good time. They just simply was not going to allow it. And you wonder sometimes, how do they know when they need to call? You know, how do they know when to interrupt you? And it's aggravating. But it's the fact of the matter is, Jesus said life was like that. And I've also noticed that a lot of the time, the people that suck the joy out of stuff aren't Christians. I've noticed that a lot. See, Christians want what's good for you. They want what's good for your family if they're a true Christian. They want what makes you happy and that what makes God happy. And that's what Jesus is telling us here in this 10th chapter. He is saying, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly." He said, "The thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy." He said, "But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And that's just a wonderful thought. He wants us to enjoy serving Him. You don't very often hear a preacher say that. But God wants you to enjoy His service. There's no reason not to. Do you think Abraham and David and all these guys walked around like this all the time? No. I cannot believe that. They were happy about serving God. They were happy. And why not? Why not? If the King of the universe tells you that He wants to be your adopted dad, my lands, what are we thinking we aren't running to Him? Well, too. He said, I'm come that you can have a shepherd. I'm come that you can have life. I'm come that you may know the truth, He said in another place. He said, the truth will set you free. I've known people all my life, I've known people to just run from God. They would absolutely just run from Him. You couldn't baptize them if their life depended on it. You couldn't get them to obey the gospel. And it really does depend on it. But, you know, what can I say? You couldn't tie them up and baptize them. They'd fight at it. Why? Only I figures they don't want life. They don't want to be happy. They don't want a home in heaven. They don't want eternal life. They want to hang on to whatever little thing makes them happy here on this earth. And it really doesn't. It doesn't satisfy. It doesn't make you happy. Everything on this earth is transitory. Everything is temporary. Everything that you have that makes you happy on this earth, you will have to do, have, eat, whatever. You're going to have to do it again very shortly because it doesn't last. But if you're in the service of God, if you walk after His ways, you can have a fullness that is beyond our comprehension. Paul said, you can't understand. He said, you cannot describe the peace that you can have in God. You can't even describe it. It's beyond words. In Acts chapter 8, we find where the eunuch found out what he needed to do to be saved. In Acts chapter 8, verse 35, we find the eunuch was reading in Isaiah. And he was reading in this place. Let's back up to verse 32. He read it. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And he didn't understand it. He didn't understand what that meant. And so Philip was told to go over and talk to the eunuch. So he did. And it says, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? He said, explain this to me. I don't get it. I don't understand. Well, it says, Philip opened his mouth and he began at the very same scripture. So he began in Isaiah and he preached, it says, unto him Jesus. Starting in Isaiah, and he preached unto him Jesus. Now, you can talk about Jesus, you can say a lot of things about Jesus, but I know Philip talked about obedience to Jesus. You know why I know that? Because of what happened in the very next verse. Said, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? He was preaching to him Jesus, and it didn't take very long till he got to being born again. See, the gospel of Jesus is very simple. It's not very long. It's not very hard. It's not very involved. I know a lot of preachers that make a big deal out of everything they talk about, and I'm sorry, but it's really not that complicated. It's really not. Jesus gave His life as a ransom for us. And if we want to be saved, we are told to obey Him, to come to Him with a willing heart, and to be baptized. And that's really the gospel. I mean, it really isn't that difficult. He says, he commanded, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, I'm paraphrasing, but let me read it. If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. If you believe with every ounce of your being, you can be baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So here the eunuch was going along, he was reading. He didn't understand. Somebody came along and they told him what he needed to do to be saved. He heard the gospel. He finally, in his mind, it finally clicked. Maybe it was the first time he'd ever heard it. You know, maybe it was the first time he understood what he was being told. But he heard that gospel. And I'm going to tell you that the eunuch repented. It doesn't say that he did, but that's what belief is. Belief is active. Belief is not just saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. Although that is belief. But when you believe in Jesus Christ, when you believe that He is the Son of God, you will correct your life. You know, we read about that this morning. It talked about how that seeing then that we see all these things and know all these things, how ought we to conduct ourselves? And so I have no doubt that the eunuch repented of any sin that he had in his life. He confessed then that Jesus was Lord. Matthew chapter 10, verse 13 and 33 says, confess me before men, and I'll confess you before God. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you before God. So we have to be willing to confess His name before men. And then, of course, the eunuch said, I need to be baptized. And that's what Peter told the people on the day of Pentecost. He told them, he said, look guys, you have killed the Son of God. And they're like, what are we going to do? And he said, repent and be baptized and wash away them sins. That's our God. We don't do nothing that doesn't deserve death nearly. But he's told us, he said, just come to me and I'll take care of them. I'll take them away from you. I'll put them away. So Peter told him in Acts 10:38, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sin. And that's what Philip evidently told the eunuch, because he wanted to be baptized too. He wanted to get those sins washed away. So this afternoon, I've been told indirectly a time or two that a fellow wants to be baptized. And I think Mike's going to take care of that here in a little bit. And I'm just thrilled to death. But, you know, that invitation is open all the time. The invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ is extended from the moment we become old enough to understand what it's all about to the moment that we die. We are given the opportunity time and time again to be saved. If you have never been baptized, but you understand that Jesus is Lord. You understand that without His forgiveness, you are a sinner before God. Then I would ask you, why have you not been baptized? Seeking that remission of sin. Or if you have, and you've wandered away, and you've got to where you don't feel like you can pray to God, then I would ask you, why don't you come forward and let the church pray with you? So in either call, in either event, if there is anything that the church here can do to help you this day, won't you come forward and make it known while we stand and sing?